The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm sitting across the table from my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, and I've asked Chris to come on the program as we talk about something that has really been on my mind and heart lately. It has to do with demonic oppression, possession, and mental health. You know, one of the things that we hear so much, and Chris is well-read in these areas, we hear about mental health. This person has mental health problems. They have, you know, I still remember Jim Cimbala telling me, well, in New York, we have so many mental health problems and people going to the subway and pushing total strangers in front of trains. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think that's mental health.
Right.
I think that's demons.
Yeah.
And so, Chris, I want to devote this program to really talking about the difference between true mental health problems and where the devil is involved. I believe that in every school shooting, it might not be a possessed person, but the devil is involved in, he's in the details somewhere in there, because a person wouldn't naturally do that.
Right. So to what extent, hard to tell, but the Satan, through demons, has had some part in it. There's either demonic influence or actual demonic possession, where someone is actually possessed by demons, causing them to do things like that, or at least influenced demonically. We know that the demons are influencing our culture and what's happening in our culture, for sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes demons can actually possess people.
Right. Well, it seems like in the New Testament, you have so many instances where a person would come to the Lord.
Yes.
I'm thinking, you know, in Mark chapter 1, this person didn't come to the Lord, but right off the bat in the Gospel of Mark says, they, Jesus and his disciples, went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of the man. Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, I would maintain that there was no one at the synagogue that knew that person was demon-possessed.
Right. I mean, there's several instances, many instances of demon possession throughout the Gospels, and Jesus handling the demon possessions. Obviously, they didn't have diagnosis from therapists on some sort of mental illness. And so so there is many, many cases. This is just one. Matthew 4, there's a few in Matthew 4, but Matthew 4, verse 24 says, and the news about him spread throughout Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and severe pain, demon-possessed, people with epilepsy, and people who were paralyzed, and he healed them.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of clumps it there together with other
you know,
mental illnesses or physical ailments that someone may have.
So epilepsy would be a physical issue. You know, we talk about, I was going back and forth with AI this morning talking about, you know, give me an example of somebody that had a mental illness in the Bible. And they said, well, Jeremiah.
You said mental illness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeremiah, the weeping prophet.
Okay.
You know, when Elijah in 1 Kings 19, when he flees, it's like, well, depression I wouldn't classify depression as mental illness.
It can't. Well, okay, it depends. Some people say that they're depressed, and then they tell their circumstances, they tell their situation. Well, of course, you're feeling depressed, right?
Sure.
So, for example, Elijah, that's not coming. That's not just coming from nowhere.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah. So I think if you maybe a lot of good things are happening in your life, and you just have a lot of blessings in your life, like really, like looking at it from the outside, there's a lot of blessing in your life, but you still have those feelings of what we would diagnose as depression, really, mm-hmm. really deep darkness. So it depends. So you could have depression. It's a physical thing, you know, neurological.
Right.
But a lot of times you're just feeling depressed just because of situations in your life. So there's questions. I don't have it in front of me, but there's questions I could take someone through to see like if that's real depression.
Yeah, I remember preaching on 1 Kings 19 with Elijah, and you know, about Spurgeon had bouts of depression.
Abraham Lincoln.
Right, Lincoln was like that. But I wouldn't call those guys mentally ill.
Mm.
You know, I guess when I think of mental illness, I think of, well, you have diabetes. That's an illness. I mean, it doesn't go away, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you're saying more something like chronic, physically chronic.
Right.
Okay. I mean, yeah, something that you can't necessarily treat or take care of in some way, physically or spiritually.
It's just always there.
Okay.
Because those guys had bouts of that. Obviously, yeah. Elijah had that one bout of it, mm-hmm. and then I'm glad it's in the Bible because it helps us. Chris, you and I well know that every preacher struggles mm-hmm. with discouragement and depression mm-hmm. from time to time, thinking you're not doing very well, or mm-hmm. you know, Monday morning you're beating yourself up because you think you did poorly on Sunday.
Well, you may have dispositions or temperaments, maybe more melancholy mm-hmm. kind of temperament. So I remember just hearing the story of a famous pastor whose son committed suicide, and they were in their like young 20s or late teens, but just throughout that person's growing up years, the mom and dad were concerned that it someday he would get to that point. They always had that in the back of their mind mm-hmm. just because he battled depression. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like, is that just because of his temperament?
Mm-hmm.
He had a, you know, pretty good blessed life.
Right.
But is it because of his temperament or, you know, his makeup, or was it just because of a, you know, something neurologically, something that he was, or chemically that he was struggling with?
Yeah. And so I've always looked at it this way. We can't, physical healing is not a promise in the Bible.
Right.
You know, hey, if you get hit by a car and it breaks your back and now you can't walk, uh-huh. well, the Lord is obligated to get you out of the wheelchair. I mean, that's not a promise. He can do that.
Right.
I mean, Johnny Erickson Tata prayed for that, mm-hmm. but God didn't do that.
Yeah.
But I've always looked at, okay, so problems emotionally,
uh-huh.
you know, I have no peace, I have no joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That is something we can claim.
Yeah.
And so somebody that's bombarded with depression or suicidal thoughts or something like that, it's like, hey, you can claim, we have the mind of Christ, you can claim the joy that's yours as a child of God.
Yeah.
How do you see that?
I see it, I mean, I'm not trying to be Switzerland, but I see it as a both and. You know, I see it as, because I was thinking of anxiety. Anxiety would be one that the Bible clearly talks about.
Right.
And we've talked about before on the show distinctions between worry and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at anxiety more as a clinical diagnosis than like worry.
Right.
Is something that you
like
just,
panic attacks and
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you feel it physically, like mm-hmm. you feel it in your stomach, and it may not even have a real reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just comes out of nowhere. So I'm not really concerned about putting it in one camp or the other. I'm definitely going to handle the spiritual aspect biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that does make a difference. But it might be a both thing where someone does need to take medication or make changes in their life, you know, physically,
mm-hmm.
but definitely going to hit it from the spiritual side.
Well, I thought this was interesting. I forget who, it was some medical doctor that said this, with all the school shootings and those mass killings, he said every single one of those shooters was on some kind of mood-altering drug.
Mm-hmm.
And he's,
that's the danger, because you're messing with chemistry and
right.
you're trying to get that chemistry right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought it was just an interesting. So does this have a factor in why the person did that? Who knows? But it is kind of an interesting.
With side effects, like what are the right. side effects? They list the side effects, and you're like, oh wow, that's one of the side effects.
So you,
possible side effects.
You know, I know the Trump administration is trying to ban pharmaceutical companies from being able to have all their commercials, because I was watching some show the other day, and it was like every commercial was about some new drug from Pfizer or whoever, and when they have to list all the side effects. Yeah.
Which is like, most the commercial.
Yeah. It's like, well, who in the world would take that?
Right. It could be like a subliminal message that's being, you know, a really intentional message that's being sent to us, you know.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, Chris, when we think about, King Saul.
Yeah.
You know, an evil spirit was sent from the Lord to terrorize him.
Uh-huh.
And what was the medicine? What was the remedy? David would play his harp.
Yeah.
And his music. He didn't take any drugs or anything like that. But that was obviously causing him to go kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors today, psychiatrists today, wouldn't attribute that to an evil spirit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're battling in the flesh, right? And we battle in the spirit. And that's what's happening with Saul in that instance, and all these instances in the gospel with Jesus. He's battling in the spirit. So, I mean, what I hear you saying, and I definitely agree, is that we're fighting in the flesh with medicine and, you know, all these kinds of secular therapy instead of battling in the spirit. You know, thinking of Ephesians 6, we're in a battle, we're in a spiritual battle, but we wrestle against, you know, principalities that we don't see. It's in the spiritual realm.
Right. And we talked about, you know, people come into the church and the church is going to attract the demons. They don't want you to know they're demon possessed necessarily. Uh-huh. But just like Mark chapter 1, that encounter in the synagogue. It's like, well, if you're demon possessed, why are you coming to the synagogue? Why are you coming to church? Mm-hmm. Well, because the devil is very involved in church. He wants to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. But we've had people, no doubt, and we've talked about it before, that person, if they're not demon-possessed, they're demonized, but the demons are on that person in some way. They're totally irrational. They're dangerous from the standpoint of you don't know what they're going to do. They can get angry at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the church has kind of said, well, we're ill-equipped to deal with that from a medicine standpoint.
Right.
But we're not ill-equipped to deal with that from a spiritual standpoint. The medical community is ill-equipped to deal with it from a spiritual standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. So the one that would most mask itself, the two would be maybe kind of hard to make a distinction between, would be schizophrenia and demonic possession. So we've seen people come into our church that, you know, maybe would be quickly diagnosed as schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some distinctions between the two. And, you know, yeah, like schizophrenia, I think you're battling, you know, the physical, but you also battle in the spiritual. Demonic is all spiritual, battling all in the spiritual, not in the physical at all, but all in the spiritual.
Well, and it stands to reason the devil would want you to think it's something else.
Mm.
It's a mental deal when it's him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Jesus, the demon just blurted out, I know who you are, the Holy One. You know, they couldn't handle it because they're in the presence of God. But with others, they want to stay hidden.
Now, sometimes in the schizophrenic, they would have actually an attraction to religion, to spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are in a bad spot mentally, and they're wanting... they're wanting healing, but they're wanting the spiritual, you know, where demonic would have an aversion to the spiritual, the religious.
Yeah. Well, I think too, Chris, whether we're talking mental illness, whether we're talking demon oppression, whether we're talking demon possession, all of those, what they have in common is lies. They're believing lies that is causing them to go down a path of lies. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about one of the biggest lies in our nation is the transgender insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's little wonder why we're having these shooters, these murderers linked to transgenderism, because that just rots out your brain and your spirit is open to all sorts of deception. Well, we're talking about demons and mental health with Dr. Chris Schroeder. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, right here on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. And I think you're going to find this discussion very fascinating, and in the third segment, we'll open up the phone lines for your calls.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, sitting across the table from me. We're talking about demons and mental health. We hear so much about mental health today from our healthcare professionals. We don't hear a lot about demon oppression or demon possession. I think that so much of what is called, oh, they have a mental health problem, is a demonic problem, whether that person is possessed or they're oppressed. The demons are involved in these things. And Chris, we were talking at the break, Mark chapter 9, it says, one of the crowd answered Jesus. This is after the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down off the mountain and boom, he's hit with this. Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out and they could not do it. And then Jesus said, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Now, our medical community say, well, he's having an epileptic seizure. But he answered and asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. And the disciples said, why couldn't we cast it out? And he said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Okay, so that story, Chris, we would say, the medical community wouldn't say anything about demon possession, and yet that was the problem.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is looking at that as a faith issue, with the solution being prayer. You know, prayer is the answer.
Right.
And so that would be the answer for us when there is a belief of demonic possession or demonic influence, that our answer is prayer. It's a faith issue, not necessarily a medical issue. So not everything is a sin issue, but if it is a sin issue, then the answer is prayer. If it's a physical issue, then obviously the answer is medicine.
Right.
But not everything is a physical issue also.
Yeah, it's hard to know, but I think we always need to start with the spiritual. And, mm-hmm. you know, so if you're struggling with, let's say, bipolar or something mm-hmm. like that, which is believing lies and you got a lawless stuff, you know, you fly into a rage and, you know, we have friends that have kids that have this and very, very difficult to parent that. But I think you go first to the spiritual versus going to, let's get medicine, let's do this and let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's pray over this and pray over this person. They're obviously believing lies. And then that leads me, Chris, into, you know, we talk about transgenderism a lot. Go ahead.
Well, before you go there, I mean, that's why we are the church. We are the answer. We are the hope of mm-hmm. the world, you know, a spirit-filled church. And so the church has been so reluctant to handle issues that we farm everything out. We send everything to, oh, we're not equipped for this. That's right. Why Jay Adams back in the day wrote the book Competent to Counsel. And his point was that stop sending it out to the secular world, but you have a lot of things, resources within the church. Number one being prayer, number two being God's word, you right. know. And so you know, a lot of things are spiritual, and we're treating it physically when we just send it away from the church.
Well, and that brings up the point. So you send this person to a psychiatrist, they can prescribe drugs, but drugs don't help a spiritual problem.
Right, exactly. And so you and I are always going to go to the spiritual, because that's our area. That's what we get to go to, because we're in the church, we're in the pastorate, so we get to go to the spiritual. But there is power there that that's the number one place we should go anyway.
Yeah, and so if I'm a psychiatrist and I'm going to the drug route and the mental route when it's a spiritual problem, I'm not going to see people get better.
Right.
I might see them just like with lobotomies. Well, you might see that person become very docile, uh-huh, but you hadn't fixed their problem.
Right, and they might be in a cycle then of sickness, you know?
Right. Well, okay, when we talk about the quote-unquote, the trans community, would they go up in arms if you said you have a mental illness? Mm-hmm. But you know, anybody that 50-60 years ago, if you were a biological male and you thought you were a female and wanted to wear a dress, MASH, what did Klinger always wear? He wore a dress to show that I'm crazy,
because I want to get out of this. So
right, and so that was the big joke. Now Biden had the assistant health secretary, whatever the guy's name was, I've gone blank on it now, but he always wore a dress to work. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're Klinger. We need to get you out of here and get you into some kind of a institution.
Well, the psychologists are using what's called the DSM. I don't know what number they're on now, but it keeps, you know, it's always just keeps updating.
Right.
And so things that used to be seen as some sort of mental illness, sickness, get taken off the list.
Right.
And then are not seen as that anymore. So.
Yeah. And I think that's pressure from the left that's saying, hey, you can't say we're sick. You know, I remember Adrian used to say, you know, homosexuality, we used to say that was sin. Mm-hmm. And then we said it was a sickness. And now we say it's an acceptable lifestyle. You need to cheer it.
Yeah. Or gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria was the big one.
Yeah. And so, I found this clip this morning, Chris, and I thought it was very telling. Jordan Peterson, the psychologist, very, you know, not a believer, but he's very
close. He's
not far from the kingdom. We pray for him that he would come to Christ in a real saving way. But he has a good bead on what's going on in society.
Just meeting everything from a logical standpoint.
Yeah, very logical. Here's what he had to say about a Disney executive, a woman who has two children. One is transgendered and one is pansexual.
Mm-hmm. A while back, Disney executive mentioned on video, well, I have two children, 5 and 7. One is trans and the other is pansexual.
I'm here as a mother of two queer children, actually, one transgender child and one pansexual child.
And I just thought mathematically right away, it's like the chance you have a trans kid is 1 in 3,000. That's not a very high chance. And let's say the chance that you have a pansexual kid is the same, whatever pansexual means. I don't even know how to calculate those odds. But whatever that is rarer than trans, because no one ever even heard about it until 5 years ago. So the joint probability that you have a trans kid and a pansexual kid is 1 in 9 million. The odds that you're a pathological narcissist sacrificing your own children to the glorification of your compassion is 8,999,999 to 1. So, like, do you have a trans kid and a pansexual kid, or are you a devouring mother? Well, you can look at the odds and decide for yourself.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joe Rogan.
Oh, that was with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I hope he was praying there. That was awful. I didn't know that was in there at the end. But he's saying, hey, you know, this is all on the mom. What a 5-year-old doesn't know what a pansexual is.
Yeah, 5 and 7 were the age of those children. So that's responsibility of the mother.
Yeah. And I think that's happening all over the place. Now, Chris, I told you about the one lady that posted some video. I saw it on X, but I think it was a TikTok video. She's talking to her two little girls.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably 5 and 7 or 6 and 8 or something like that. And she said, I have great news to report. And they said, oh, and they were so excited. It's the greatest news of all. Did Donald Trump get killed? No, it's second to that. Did J.D. Vance get killed? He said, no, it's third to that. Did Elon Musk get killed? Mm-hmm. These are little girls. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, Taylor Swift is getting married.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're poisoning.
The indoctrinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are those kids growing up to believe?
Yeah. Yeah.
They glory in people dying, and that parent is teaching them that. I think the transgender thing, for somebody that actually believes, mm-hmm, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, or I'm non-binary, whatever that, I mean, they have all these different names. The devil is involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it has to be, because he's the father of lies. He's the father of destruction. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've said repeatedly, if you go down that road, we've had the one person that came to your office, mm-hmm, and yeah, I want to become a man, I think I'm a man. Well, you told her point blank, you'll never be a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not a man.
Yeah. So you put that in the category of either demonic influence or demonic possession. You know, the culture has definitely been demonically influenced by, I mean, like Jordan Peterson was saying, this hasn't even been around that long, you know, this epidemic,
right,
of transgenderism. It's just this huge, huge spike all of a sudden, you know? So I would categorize that in the demonic influence of our culture.
Well, and then you think about, okay, it fits in with Romans 1. You don't want to acknowledge God any longer, so God gives you over to a reprobate mind. Mm-hmm. And when you have a reprobate mind, you believe all kinds of lies. Mm-hmm. And so any time there are lies, the devil's involved in that, because mm-hmm, he's the father of lies.
Yeah.
So where's that coming from? It's coming from him. Now, is he directly doing it? Maybe not. But he's set up the table for that.
I mean, it's so much, you know, John 10:10, you know, right, it's so much that the enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. But then the other side of that, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so just total contrast between destruction and lies, deceit, negative victimhood, compared to an abundant, victorious life that he wants us to live. And he has set up these guidelines and this structure so that we can live an abundant life that he's called us to.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, as you work in Celebrate Recovery, mm-hmm, Celebrate Recovery is for anybody dealing with hurts, habits, and hangups.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people, not everybody for sure, but a lot are dealing with drugs and alcohol issues.
Yeah.
Drugs and alcohol, I think drugs even more than alcohol, it seems to really open up a person's mind to the demonic, because the devil seems, sorceries used in scripture, pharmakia is where we get our, that's the Greek word. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, a sorcerer used drugs in their craft.
Yeah.
And so I've read a book before, it says something, I forget what it's called, meth equals satanic addiction or demon possession or something. It equated,
really?
The two.
Oh,
and
it basically said
you start doing that and you're gonna throw out a welcome mat for the devil.
Yeah, basically you open yourself up to demonic possession. So we believe that we all have character defects because we live in a fallen world. So we have our parents affect us, you know, because our parents are sinners, raising sinners. And then the environment that we're in, because we're in a broken environment, and then our own choices and our own bad choices lead to character defects. And then the symptom of that could be drugs and alcohol, could be other things, but drugs and alcohol would be a big one. And so then when you get into using drugs and alcohol to help soothe yourself, to help, you know, kind of escape from mm-hmm. the pain that you're in, you're really opening up yourself to demonic possession, because you've basically chosen to escape and go to things that really aren't going to help you instead of turning to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now you're opening yourself up. So the recovery process is a process of turning away from that, you know, repenting of that, turning away from that, and turning to the one who really truly can heal you, your Creator.
Well, Kenza Haddock was on the program on Tuesday, and she was, you know, she's coming here Sunday. We're mm-hmm. going to pick her up, you and I, on Saturday, flying into Shreveport, and then we'll have the service Sunday night with her sharing her testimony. But, you know, when you're indoctrinated into Islam,
yes.
Islam is a false religion. Mm-hmm. The devil's fingerprints are all over false mm-hmm. religion, all over Islam. That's why it's a religion of death.
Mm-hmm.
Not every Muslim is a terrorist, but every terrorist is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have terrorism before Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, she has to reprogram her mind from mm-hmm. all those lies, because she has all those demonic strongholds that have been built over the years of false thinking. You know, Chris, we use that a lot in the counseling office, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so, you know, when we think about mental illness, mental issues, always rooted around lies.
Yeah, rooted around lies. And one of the hardest issues to counsel, one of the hardest issues to help people through, is false beliefs about God. So the most important thing about you is what you think about God,
yeah.
who you think God is. And so there's a healthy fear of God. We should have a fear of God, an awe of who God is as the Creator, as the Holy One. But then there's an unhealthy fear of God. And that's what Kenza talks about, is her unhealthy fear of God. And so that is, so you get saved, but now you have to overcome this unhealthy fear of God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's a big one. And she's going to be talking about that Sunday night. If you live in the Texarkana area, anywhere close by, come and join us Sunday night, this Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Kenza, what an inspiration she is. Her story is amazing, and she shares it very, very well. So that'll be a great blessing. And if you have a Muslim friend that you've been praying for, talking to, sharing with, invite them to come and hear how the Lord worked in her life. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about demons and mental health issues. And as we were talking at the break, one thing I want to make very, very clear, I had mentioned about the Bible talking, Galatians 5, talking about sorcery, and that Greek word is pharmakia, which means the use of drugs. And it's kind of like the witch doctor, where you'd have drugs and things that they would use in their magic and in their witchcraft. I'm not saying that any person that takes Zoloft or Prozac or something like that you're participating in sorcery. I'm not saying that at all. And I think that we do have drugs that can help people just to stabilize, that have chemical imbalances and things like that.
That's a good word, stabilize, to get back to a stable position so then you can get deeper help that you need.
Right. But we don't know it, Chris, as we were saying, we don't know the side effects of a lot of these drugs and how they interact with other drugs. That's why when you watch TV and the pharmaceutical comes on with a new drug to help you enjoy life, and then they give you a laundry list of, you could have suicidal thoughts, blah, 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 this and that and the other. And I listen to that and just think, well, no way in the world would I ever take that drug.
I don't want to take those chances.
That would be awful. And so anyway, don't read too much into that. But we always want to, with any kind of issue that would be called mental health, you go to the Lord with that before you go to anything else. Before you go to a doctor, go to the great physician and ask him for healing in those areas, whether it's physical, mental. You deal with the spiritual before you deal with anything else.
I think in dealing with the spiritual too, we have to mention that not everything is a possession.
Right.
Because a person that is a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon.
No.
And so the gospel is so important to make sure that someone has salvation. And to like in the counseling office, I want to find out if that person has salvation, first of all, because that's the most important thing. Because if they don't have salvation, then they could be possessed. But otherwise, that's not a possession.
Well, and definitely, I like the term oppression more than possession.
Yes.
Now, some people are possessed, but many, many people are oppressed. And a Christian can be oppressed of the devil, which just means the devil, the demons are, they're building that that stronghold in your mind. You have a you have lies that you believe that you have to root out with the truth. So we talked about Kenza Haddock.
Yeah.
She had strongholds of unbelief or strongholds of lies that the devil had put in there through Islam that don't just get destroyed immediately because you come to Christ. You have to work those out.
Yeah, that's we call them ants, automatic negative thoughts. So there's a list of automatic negative thoughts and they can get into your brain. So you have to identify. Just like if you had literal ants in your house, you'd identify what kind of ant that is and how do I kill those ants. And so you identify what are those thoughts that are in my mind that aren't of God. Mm-hmm. And you hit it with the truth, which comes in God's word. So you've got to know God's word and you've got to stay in God's word. Mm-hmm. And you know, stay in his truth and fight those negative thoughts with his truth, with his word.
Yeah, I was talking to Robert Morgan just last week, and I know you know him and like him a lot, and we were talking about that, you know, that the way you grow in the Christian life, you have to keep combating the lies with the truth. Mm-hmm. And without that, I mean, truth is our weapon.
Yeah, that's the sword that we have. That's the one weapon that we have. Everything else is defensive, but the Word of God is the sword, the offensive, fighting against the evil one.
Yeah, and it's Chris Fabry. I was talking to Chris Fabry, and we were saying how, you know, James 1, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I have to constantly remind myself when tempted, this is going to bring death, because we don't think like that unless we're very disciplined and saying, okay, with this, everything that glitters is not gold. The devil always provides, hey, all the fun is on the front end. He doesn't show you the back end and all the misery that comes with that. And so that's something we have to train our minds with. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Chris.
Good morning.
Morning, Scott.
Hey, man, y'all bringing up so much stuff. Y'all are dredging up all sorts of stuff today. Y'all need to do this in a series of programs. Pastor Chris said a while ago with automatic negative thoughts. I even heard a pastor last night hit the nail on the head for me personally with what happens to the devil. Even he was talking about the seven character traits of Satan, and he uses automatic positive thoughts against us if we allow it, if we're not in the spirit. So I think there's some apps to go along with the ants, Pastor Chris. Ooh.
Never heard that before. That's a new one for me. Like, I'm gonna look that up.
Like anxiety for me, I care too much sometimes. I'm concerned that somebody's going to get hurt or something's going to happen or whatever. To me, that's not an automatic negative thought, because I'm basically an eternal optimist. So I usually don't see, I still see, I see the possibility of bad things happening, and I try to, it's like I'm trying to get out ahead of it so somebody doesn't get hurt. Well, that's, to me, that's a good motive, but at the same time, it's also showing a lack of spiritual maturity and not giving it to God first instead of thinking that I have some sort of redemptive or protective power to change that situation.
Yeah.
Well, my main question this morning was, well, I guess one for each of you guys. One, Pastor Chris, did you have any knowledge or experience with the bondage breaker that was by Neil? Oh, yeah. I can't remember Neil's last name.
Neil Anderson. Neil T. Anderson.
Anderson, yes.
Yeah.
Back, was really popular back in the 80s, but it seemed like it was a very powerful, well laid out. But I wanted to make sure. And then, by Pastor Jeff, I wanted you to comment. What's the difference between the thorn in the flesh that Paul had and had and asked God to remove, and he had to live with it the rest of his life, and a stronghold?
Yeah, that's good. Good question. Well, I'll go ahead and answer that first, and then kick it to Chris. A stronghold would be a stronghold of lies. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Paul's thorn in the flesh wasn't a lie that he believed. Chris, we don't know exactly what it was, but I believe it was probably something physical, something.
Eyesight.
It could have been eyesight, could have been malaria where he'd get terrible headaches or something that he didn't want, and asked the Lord to remove it. And the Lord said, no, because this is going to keep you close to me. My grace is sufficient for you. So one was a stronghold is a lie, and the other is something the Lord allowed him to have, probably a physical ailment issue that that God used to keep him humble.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, there's a way to fight. It's a simple acrostic to think about. It's truth. So we have a trouble. We have trouble that hits our life. You know, we all face trouble. We're either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or going into trouble. And then we respond. We respond in different ways, negative or positive. Then we discover what is the underlying issue, what's really happening, okay, what's really going on. Then the T is truth. Hit it with the truth. So you've got to know the truth. You've got to know God's word. You've got to know God's promises and hit that trouble with the truth. And then eventually the H is the heart. It's always about getting to the heart. We always want to get to the heart. We don't want to just change behavior. We don't want to just change the outside. We want to get to the inside. We want to get to the heart. As Christians, we're all about the heart.
Okay, so trouble, response. What's the U?
Underlying issue. So that's where you dig a little bit. You know, family of origin, why you do what you do.
Bad relationship with your dad or something like that. Okay, then T is truth and H is heart. That's really cool. Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that call, Scott. And we have Tony on the line from Illinois. Tony, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, Tony.
Hi. I deal with a lot of parents that have different issues with their children, and one of those things being like ADD, ADHD, maybe bipolar. And I think that, in my humble opinion, some of it, not all of it, is a lack of biblical discipline. I remember a comedian saying one time, today we call it ADD, ADHD. Back in the day, we used to just call it BAD, and we handled it with a and not a whole bunch of pills.
That's, oh well. But
I think that I have seen cases where parents have used medication for last resort, and their kids actually improved in school and were better socially, but they were kind of zombie-ish. Yeah. So I'm just wanting to know, like, at what point do we exhaust all of our spiritual and physical things? Do we go to medication, and is there a place for it? Do you see anything good out of using medication in those situations?
Great question, Tony. Chris?
I mean, yeah, again, I believe in the holistic approach. I don't know where the line is. Like, you're trying to find a line between where, you know, you never stop with the spiritual answer,
right.
You know, I think it's a constant working, you know, working out our salvation, constantly working out, seeking God. So I don't know where that line is, but I don't think we're not trying to say that medicine is bad. You know, it's bad that you if you have to use medicine, that it's bad. I like how you said last resort.
Yes.
So other resources have been worked on and still not seeing improvement and then going to that. And so I don't think we're in the camp of no medicine at all, you know.
Well, I think, Chris, and you and I were talking about this at the break. So there's certain medicines where you know this. So my blood pressure's high. I take this medicine. My blood pressure's not high anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm having real serious problems with delusional thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I take this medicine and I don't think about anything. You know, I mean, it kind of numbs my mind.
Like Tony was saying, like you become like a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that hasn't really fixed the problem. I think in the mental institutions, I mean, you know, lobotomies, hey, this person is uncontrollable, let's give him a lobotomy. Well, now he's a zombie. And if you've ever seen how they did that with an ice pick under your, I mean, it's brutal. Who yes. came up with that?
Yeah.
Very barbaric. So I think you bring up a good point, Tony. And for Christian parents, we need to, I would deal with the spiritual right off the bat. I would deal with the physical. Is my child getting enough sleep?
Oh, that's a great point.
Are they eating well?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Maybe we need to change their diet. Maybe there's too much, you know, sugar or too much gluten or whatever it might be, and get them on to healthy food. I think that can make a huge difference.
I think that's a great point. So that's why I was talking about Romans 12. You know, mm-hmm. The first part says offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So it starts with the physical.
Yeah.
So sleep, nutrition, exercise. Right. All those things, and then also the electronic, the obsession yes. with the electronics,
yes,
and that being a soothing instrument for people.
Yeah, so I would encourage parents: don't let your child go to sleep with their phone or their iPad. You know, bring that into the bedroom. Have a no phone zone for the bedrooms and for the dinner table. And really, that stuff. You know, I was talking to Tom Rainer, and he said when you combine a smartphone and social media, that's a toxic brew because kids are growing up with all these insecurities that you and I didn't face, Chris, when we were kids.
We tired ourselves out. Like we were physically, you know, riding bikes, playing sports. And so by the end of the day, we're physically exhausted and we're ready to go to sleep. And your children should be sleeping to the point of not having to be dragged out, you know, alarm clock, trying to get them up. But they actually feel like they wake up on their own. They've had enough sleep.
Right. And we didn't have video games. We had pinball. That's
I mean,
you're a little younger than
I had Atari, but I mean, I never had Atari, but friends had Atari.
Yeah. But that can be mind numbing.
Yeah.
You
didn't have Pong?
No, we had, well, I got it toward the end of high school. But really sitting there just playing this game, it's very addicting. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I mean, I can't have that stuff.
That's the way I am too. I know that I would be addicted, so I better not have it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have that temptation. So we were out there, riding our bikes till dark. We didn't have cell phones. Mm-hmm. Parents didn't know where you were. You're always outside playing. Mm-hmm. And whether we're going to play football or baseball or, you know,
whatever the season was.
Yeah. And those are good things. And climbing fences, climbing trees, you might fall out of a tree, you might break your arm. Hey, that's part of growing up. Mm-hmm. And we just never thought much about it. So I appreciate the call, Tony. That's good stuff. Okay, we have time for one more call. Linda from Texas, we just have about a minute.
Hello?
Yes.
My granddaughter is on the way down here from Oklahoma to live with me, and she's loading up on the depression medication. I need some help because she's lived with me before, and I don't want any bad things to happen here.
Yeah. Okay, Linda, we'd love to help you with that. Send me an email, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, and we'll definitely be praying for you. But if we can help you in some way, we'd love to do that. And Raul, I'm sorry we ran out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve with my good friend Dr. Chris Schroeder talking about demons and mental health. Maybe this program is something that you can share with somebody else. to help and encourage them. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.